Basketball fans, what is up? And welcome to another edition of the All Basketball Podcast. Once again, it's your host, Maurice. And this time, doing another edition of the Last 10. And before I get Last 10 in the NBA, before I get to the Last 10 in the NBA, I got to get some off my chest. Being born in the 80s, bred, raised in the 90s, it's like this, like Andre Outcast said, before y'all knew him, he became known as Andre 3000 when he was up at the Source Awards, and he said, it's like this, I'm tired of folks, I'm tired of these closed-minded folks. He went on to say, you know what I'm saying, I'm tired. It's like we got a demo and nobody want to hear it, but the South got something to say. And this is not an episode of Carolina Got Something to Say, but I got something to say about folks recently coming out hashtagging, we're done with the 90s. Like I said, I was born in the 90s, born in the 80s. Seen a lot of basketball. Andre made this statement in 95 at the Source Awards, and I had to quote it because this stuff coming out about people being saying they're done with the 90s and discrediting 90s basketball, let's just stop it. I mean, I know every era can be critiqued, obviously. And basketball does get better over time. We've seen that. But, and people may, they may put more weight on 90s basketball, or obviously people from my era are going to call it the glory days. And that's understood because that's when they experienced it. That's maybe when they fell in love with it, but it may be overhyped. Like everyone's going to put more value on their era of basketball they enjoy to watch or their experience when the game was first introduced to them. But to go and shoot down one era and put something out like that, after some research I heard, it was kind of a joke, but you can read comments, people really believe this stuff, so. But I got something to say about it too, so. I mean, yeah, okay, not. Let's look at some of the stuff from the 90s you had. You didn't have as much scoring. You had two big guys down low. You had more, definitely more talented low post centers than today. I'm talking Ewing, Olajuwon, Alonzo Mourning, who wasn't really a scorer, but post players, Barkley, Karl Malone, Shaq. It was a Mutombo blocking shots. It was a big man's game. People like Rick Smits, post scorers. Those were some of your highlighted guys, and the game was obviously played from the paint to the mid-range area. Yeah, teams took threes, but they didn't. So everything revolved around the paint. So you wanted to protect the hole because you had big men obviously attacking, trying to get as close as possible. Because logically, it doesn't take a scientist to figure this out. The closer you are to the rim, the easier and more likely a shot will go in. So the game's played inside out. Guards trying to get to the rack. Even guards, some of you guys, young guys may not know of, like, or may have seen a clip or two here and there. Rod Strickland, Tim Hardaway. I mean, these guys were, Mitch Richmond, you mix it up from the mid-range to trying to get to the rack. Excuse me. And with tight handles, you had guys like Michael Adams playing from the perimeter, but not taking a bunch of threes. Mid-range game. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, deadly in the mid-range. Shot the three pretty good, too. So you had an array of guys amongst big guys. Jamal Mashburn. The list goes on and on. Guys who, Jim Jackson, Big Dog Glenn Robinson. even early years of Ray Allen, you see him dunking and going to the hole. Allen Iverson coming the latter half of that decade. Marbury, Kobe, obviously. John Stockton in the mid-range, Mark Price in the mid-range. But you had these big guys patrolling the paint, so you needed a power forward at their side to get those rebounds, because everything revolved around the paint and getting to the basket. So your power players weren't concerned with, they were concerned with keeping the defense somewhat honest, but hitting the mid-range jumper, but mainly keeping guys out of the paint, being able to just lay the ball in a dunk every time. So you had that term where the power forward really was, and even before that in the 80s, where that term really, it was literal, because strong guys, the Davis boys, Dennis Rodman, Horace Grant, Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason. I mean, and so people like Rodney Rogers, Antonio McDyess, and you had guys a little more skilled come in like Rasheed Wallace, Chris Webber. So these guys, everything was based around that paint, so it was played inside out. And okay, you needed height to somewhat neutralize other heights. So you had big guys who definitely probably couldn't play today, but they had a purpose, like Winnington and Purdue and Stacey King and Tree Rollins, Kevin Duckworth, Buck Williams. You had Terry Cummins, these guys you need to offset the big guys who were in the paint trying to dominate the game, because the game was played from inside out. And okay, yeah, some of these guys relied on for strength, fouls, size to protect the rim, make it difficult for guards coming in there making layups or preventing dunks, all of that stuff. Like Mutombo, like guys were Ratliff. I mean, these guys were in there trying to protect the paint. So the game was played totally differently. And then the game also was built on ball movement. It wasn't about just let me get the ball for 20 seconds and do all this over dribbling and show you how tight my handle is. Ball movement, getting good shots, backdoor cuts, playing off the post and seeing where the double's coming from. Because remember, there was no zone defense. You had to either come to trap or stick with your man enough, or it was a legal defense violation, which led to a free throw. So guys weren't trying to, weren't all about, guys got out in transition, but they weren't all about just isolation. It wasn't an isolation and kick game like it is today. And there's nothing wrong with that, but, and so when, I mean, these guys are, excuse me, yeah. It wasn't that, so that's how the game was played. It was inside out. Certain guys had roles. You had guards like Armstrong, B.J. Armstrong, Steve Kerr, ready to shoot off penetration created by Jordan, Pippen, Reggie Miller running off screens, Mitch Richmond doing the same, Starks playing off Ewing, Malone and Stockton on the pick and roll. That's more of an, it's a little, look, probably look a little different, but that was a, that's, that would be more of an offense. That offense you see today with the pick and roll, was Utah was kind of ahead of the game, and they did a lot of that, but a lot of the league didn't do that. It was ball movement, back cuts. I mean, you can go watch it. I mean, go back and look at the 92 finals when, yes, it's hyped up when Jordan made those six threes in game one to lead the Bulls over Portland. But throughout that series, I mean, guys making back cuts, Jordan coming off of, he's either where they're running that triangle, he's moving without the ball, he's getting it, diving the basket, he's coming up, He's catching and shooting. He's not dealing with much wasted motion or dribbling. It was based on ball movement and attacking the rim. I mean, that 92, I recently watched that 92 series. I mean, it was big dunks galore from people like Kersey, Cliff Robinson, Drexler, obviously, Buck Williams, Horace Grant, Pippen, everybody attacking the rim. Catching alley oops. And I mean, Drexler, he posterized Cartwright. With Cartwright waiting for him under the rim. If those were the issues you guys may have seen with the 90s, or a lot of brick shots and low scoring, let's talk about today's game, where you have big guys who, despite their height advantage, can't take advantage of it. You have a lot of over dribbling. You have a lot of carrying, questionable step backs, travel step backs in the threes. Sometimes you have guys just coming down, one guy screaming. He's dribbling, handling, trying to shake the guy, can't shake the guy, chucking up a three-point shot, doesn't go in. Bad basketball. Minimal ball movement, minimal guys, very few guys moving without the ball. Like, when the game changed to this isolation, they kind of started with Harden in Houston, then now you see a lot, Luka doing it a lot. When they get rid of the ball, they just stand there. They don't cut to the basket. They just stand there and watch somebody else dribble. It's almost like playground basketball or YMCA LA Fitness street ball infiltrated the NBA to a certain extent. When now it's just about showing off your handles or trying to do this move or get the one-on-one matchup you want. Another issue with today, guys, defense is just sometimes so effortlessly, don't try to fight through a screen and let the offense get the matchup they want. Get Rudy Gobert out there on the guard, who we definitely can't check, or just one guy, for example. So I know you try, the strategy is to combat it with switchable wings. So when people are switching, it's like they're getting the same personal defense. You want your offense defense to be as switchable as possible, but it's not possible for every team. And some of these guys just come up and they just so effortlessly, oh, switch, you got them. Now, if it's late clock, I understand, but sometimes they run the same thing over and over again, like watching something on a loop, a tape on a loop. This is the matchup I want. Okay, if you're making the shots, but then you'll see from time to time guys trap or try to just get the ball out of that guy's hand because they don't want to keep giving up a mismatch, but it's just so effortlessly. The guy doesn't even come up and set a hard screen. He just comes up there as more of a impediment between the man guarding and the man with the ball. And the other guy just like, well, we're just going to switch and go away and get, we're going to get your best defender away from our best offensive player. And now you're going to let him cook or try to cook. And we're just going to hope for the best. And we switching so quickly because we're so afraid of three-point shot, but it may not even be going in. But sometimes the switch works and sometimes it doesn't. And the lack of fight defense is put up, that's an issue with today's game. Also, load management, wow. I mean, you guys load managing, you still get hurt. I mean, the guys of the day load manage, still get hurt. Unwillingness to play, I mean, a lack of defense, something to help the defense, that's an issue with today's game too. The offense just has all the advantages. You have multiple guys scoring over 60, a couple of guys scoring over 70. Then sometimes you're watching it, just nobody's making shots. They just run up and down the court. Everybody's outside of three-point line, chucking up threes. So we have a 5-on-5 three-point contest where not many threes are going in. Another issue with today's game. So if somebody wants to, they can pick. And I just recently saw a highlight my homeboy sent me of bad basketball today or recent. I mean, from even great players like LeBron James and Russell Westbrook, stuff looks bad. So it can happen in any era. I mean, someone made a good point. Nobody's perfect, so why would you expect perfect basketball in any era? And it's just it's just silly. I mean, downing one era over another. I mean, for the sake of debate, okay, yeah, but you can't glorify this era but so much, because it has flaws, and where people back in another era did things better than they're doing now, especially a lot with the defense and the big guys failing to take advantage of matchup, mismatches, post up. I mean, big men get switched on, they can't even function to counter when guards get a switch on, when guards have the ball, point guards, and they're got them way out there, way out in space, near the three-point line, and they're putting together all these dribble moves, and he can't keep up with them. But when the big man get the ball on the other end, most of them can't take advantage of it. But the ones who can, like Jokic, Aaron Gordon, Embiid, when he's not trying to hunt for fouls, there are Anthony Davis does it, especially when he runs out off a miss and catches that guard back and seals him when nobody else down there. So that's a pretty good strategy. So it's not all, but a lot of guys just can't function. Yeah, guys specialize in shooting, and a lot of more big guys that they can shoot at that 4 and 5 position and pass and bring the ball up, but they lack in other areas as well. So they're not the best basketball players. Then when something's not working for certain guys, they just keep shooting threes. They don't take a step in or try to mix it up. But I guess because of the way they're expected to play through the analytics, maybe they're not allowed to, like Jabari Parker was quoted saying. So it's you can nitpick something from every era. So I'm not going to say we're done with today's era, but for those of you supporting it, we're done with the 90s. This is something to come right back at you and say we got stuff we can point to as well. Now, I've seen a lot of basketball. I've been watching basketball. I vividly remember the Pistons beating the Blazers in the 1990 finals. So that's how far I go back, and even look a little further when Jordan was losing to the Pistons. So I've been watching this game for a minute, so I'm not just speaking on not speak from anything I know. And you guys can go back and watch the stuff. Yeah, and it's going to look funny. It's going to look old, but there are some good things you can bring out of it. And that's going to be, just let time keep going on. Then people look back at this era and point out things, and it'll be old as well. And the guy who made the Jordan thing, does Jordan have a left? And there's plenty of video evidence out there of Jordan finishing with his left hand, going left. More than likely, most players going to play with a strong hand. Guys always say, and Jelly Rose made a good point when he was, because he's left-handed. Guys, they always say, man, you always go left, but most right players do always go right. So it's your strong hand. When you go up and shoot, you're shooting from that side. So you want to do whatever's necessary to give yourself an advantage. So wanting of Jordan go left, I mean, I saw one comment where they said, well, if Jordan was a right-hand bandit, he went 6-0 in the finals and 6 finals MVPs, never played in a game 7 in the finals, led the league in scoring for 10 straight seasons, 5 regular season MVPs, that might make him more of a GOAT. But we definitely know Jordan wasn't a one-hand bandit. I mean, one of his greatest highlights go back to the 91 finals against the Knicks when he was going to the left, made Charles Oakley push Starks away because he thought faked out Oakley and Starks so bad, then tiptoe baseline, then just yammed it on Ewing. The finish with the left in the 91 finals against the Lakers in game two. I mean, it was going left for the shot over Cleveland. Yeah, it looked shaky, but he only had so much time. He had to push it out there and pull up. But if he couldn't go left, that move he made on Oakland Starks, he would have lost the ball out of bounds. And yeah, everybody's going to lose the ball here and there. So, but I mean, if his left wasn't as strong as his right, it was pretty daggone close. And they even said one game, no, I don't know if Kobe played left-handed, but I mean, he was just so good at doing what he did. And he posted up, he didn't do things trying to waste, he didn't spend time over dribbling, or he got that clip against Boston when he made the move on Bird and he was going between his legs, but most time once he got a tack point, he took it and he took off, or he pulled up for a jumper. But he could go either way. He was so dominant offensively. And remember, he's up, him and Wilt Chamberlain, the only guys who didn't play 20 years to reach 30,000. Everybody else on that list, LeBron, Dirk, Vince Carter, if he made that point total, definitely Kareem played 20 years. Michael Jordan just 15. But let's just stop that, because if he played today, he probably would do more dribbling in the type of game it is and shoot more threes, but that's just a ridiculous thought and idea put out there. Even though the guy had video proof, but you can't take a sample and draw it out to be a whole conclusion. It doesn't work like that. But yeah, obviously, like I said, he's right-handed, so he's going to go to his right hand most of the time. And if you can't stop it, you're already getting burned. And then, now, if you want to talk about some strong right players, I mean, one in particular I know was Clyde Drexler. I mean, strong right, Monte Ellis. But even Clyde Drexler got a championship, got to the finals twice before that with Portland, leading to the finals. So, going strong right, but not much playing with the ball. I'm getting to my point. I'm pulling up. I'm attacking the rim. I'm going back door and catching lobs. So, games just played differently. And if you guys want to see a strong right player, look up Clyde Drexler and look up and even later when Monte Ellis. Yeah, I'm sure there are many others. But like I said, as far as the last 10 interesting stuff going on, no real hot teams at the moment. Scorching hot, you got like Boston winning 3 in a row, Denver winning 3 in a row. As far as that matchup, Denver seems to own Boston, and Denver's making their climb. 9-1 in the last 10. Pretty much same record as OKC, but by percentage points, OKC is ahead. They got one more road win, and OKC 7-3 in their last 10, so holding on to number one spot. Boston's best overall record, first team to 50 wins. They got 51 now, 8-2 in their last 10. And you got Milwaukee right behind them, playing better, 7-3. Got embarrassed, I'm gonna say, last night before by the Kings, surprisingly. Still missing a couple of guys. Some of your coldest teams right now, the Cavaliers, the Knicks. Both 5-5 in their last 10. The Knicks did get back OG Anunoby last night, and they put a national TV whipping on the Sixers, who were struggling mightily, didn't they have like 79 points. Sixers are cold right now, 4-6 in their last 10. Understandably cold, no Embiid. Maxey's the only really offensive force, everything else isn't clicking. Tobias Harris didn't have a good game, so they just couldn't keep up. Got put in the chokehold by that Knicks defense. And then you just got also the Clippers. They played Minnesota last night. Minnesota went off after Kawhi Leonard left with a back issue. So, and the Clippers are now 5-5 in their last 10. Minnesota 6-4. So, have been looking too good without them. Towns saying he'll be back possibly next month. And Phoenix on the cold side at 5-5. Dallas as well, but Dallas has won 3 straight. It's funny, you can see win streaks and see how, when you look at that last 10, you see how it's, maybe they aren't all created equally. And obviously all winning streaks or losing streaks aren't created equally, because you have to look at the schedule and who, if it was top competition they had to play in a row or a tough road trip. New Orleans, technically the hottest team at 4 straight wins, 7-3 in their last 10. So coming on down to it, I mean, this, we're pretty much Boston 65 games. So this Milwaukee is 66. So these last, 15, 17 games, you know, see how this whole thing shakes out. And you got so many injuries, unfortunately. Curry expected to be back soon, dealing with an ankle injury. Donovan Mitchell, knee injury. Kawhi just last night back. Towns out with a knee. Ben Mathurin out for the season, torn labrum. So that kind of hurts Indiana's bench. Houston trying to make a play-in, but Alperen Sengun lost for the season with an ankle. Plays a lot like Jokic if you haven't seen him play. Westbrook out for the Clippers with a hand. And then Gobert, he tried to block Zubac's shot last night, and he bit the pump fake. Seemed to injure his ribs, so we'll see what his status is going forward. So a lot of key injuries for teams trying to make a push for playoff spots and be healthy as the postseason seems to be approaching rapidly. But yeah, that's the last 10, folks. Wanted to come to you quick. Definitely getting these thoughts of mine out there as far as this. We're done with the 90s. Hashtag or story just going around. You got thoughts from everybody here and there, so wanted to get what I had to say out. I'm tired of the closed minds, tired of the lack of respect, and everybody can dish it. Everybody dishes it out, but you can appreciate today's stuff and appreciate the eras before, the basketball before as well. A guy my age doesn't see all things bad with basketball today, but it's not all good either. So, and the same thing back in the time when I adored it or cherished it and was, could see no wrong in it. But when you go back and realistically, objectively look at it, you see that there are some issues and there are some weak points on the court. But when it's all said and done, it pretty much comes down to the game we just played differently, because the game was integrated. All your best athletes, for the most part, were out there unless they were injured. But I just want to say what I had to say as far as that. So thank y'all. As you know, I'm Maurice Dixon. Thank y'all for watching this episode of the All Basketball Podcast, another edition of the last 10 in the NBA. Please subscribe on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts if you haven't. There's also a video on Spotify if you guys didn't know. So it's just like YouTube. And until next time, peace. and be blessed in Jesus' name.